Hey everyone, I am Travis.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is the Wheat and the Chaff. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit here. Ryan, what do we got for today?
So today, we actually have to talk again about something because last week we recorded an episode and we recorded the whole thing. We actually had a couple of technical difficulties at first, but then we got it all recorded and we uploaded it. And then
it disappeared.
It just disappeared
off the screen and was never seen again. So sorry for our gap week there, but we are going to try to make that up to you with a great show today.
Yes. So if you follow our Facebook page at all, and if you don't, you should, and just give it a like. It's called The Wheat and the Chaff. I put a video up there called The Bible Slide. And
yes.
I said, we talked about this on this week's podcast, but then there was no podcast
to go with it. So now it just looks like we're randomly promoting The Bible Slide as good Christian viewing and possibly soon to be brought to your church.
So in case you didn't get to see the video and you're not a follower of us on Facebook, I'll give you a little clip of this called The Bible Slide. Now, let me preface this. This kind of gets into what we're going to talk about today is there is this compulsion for Christians to be relevant, and I think we've mixed up relevant with creepy. And in our efforts to
that's our thin line.
Yes.
We're either relevant or uber creepy. This is excellently good. This is either it's either going to be wow, this really hits home, or that's super cringe.
So, in our quest to be relevant and to be cool, a lot of times, I would say probably 9.9 times out of 10, it ends up bombing really, really bad. And so let me just give you an example of this, of the Bible slide. And if you've ever been to a wedding or any kind of dance or party of any kind, you've probably heard and probably participated in the cha-cha slide. So the Bible slide is the Christian version of the cha-cha slide. So here's a little clip.
Who knew the cha-cha needed to be redeemed?
Hey y'all, this right here is the Bible slide featuring the Freedom Band. And this time, we're about to get holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy. Everybody clap your hands. Clap. Clap, clap, clap your hands.
You can clap along if you want. Clap,
being a church, obviously clap, you're clapping
clap,
on one
clap
and three.
Clap your hands.
Yes.
All right, we're about to have some spiritual milk. To the left.
Mm.
Take a step of faith. Pray once this time. On the devil, let's stomp. On temptation, let's stomp. Bible slide real smooth. Now praise and shout.
Woo!
To the right. Take a step of faith. Jump out the boat. Right foot, let's go. Left foot, let's go. Bible slide now, y'all. Now it's time to get holy. Get right now. To the left. Take it to the grave. And see it resurrect. Come alive this time. Right fist, two pumps. Left fist, two pumps. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Backslide.
I feel like they missed an opportunity to be like, turn the cheek. Turn the other cheek, you know? Like, I mean, they had a few missed opportunities there that would have been gold.
Turn the cheek.
Turn the cheek would have been a good one. Turn the cheek. Turn the other cheek.
So the full video is still on our Facebook page, so I encourage you to watch the full video for high entertainment value.
Learn the full video. Memorize the first video. And make sure that you know all the dance steps so that when this is done in your church / evangelical New Year's Eve party, you will be able to hang with all of the cool kids.
I didn't even think about that.
New Year's Eve is coming.
Wow.
It comes right after Christmas.
We might have just opened Pandora's box.
In this season of sharing and giving, dear listeners, we are here to give and bless, and this is our blessing to you.
So, yeah, so the guy that is, I don't know if you call that singing or what do you call that, but
I don't know what you call that. Yeah. I don't know that there's actually words for what is being done there.
I'm watching it.
It's not singing. It's not speaking. It's certainly not rapping.
It's painful.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is painful. It is the kind of things that I believe they play in Guantanamo when they're trying to get people to talk.
I'm pretty sure that's a torture device.
Yeah.
So if you see this guy, maybe you'll think this like I did. I'm watching him. And I'm thinking, This is like a mixture of Judd Wilhite, if you know who Judd Wilhite is, pastor, and Ned Flanders from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he looks like.
Yeah. Honestly, here's my feeling, kind of keeping with the Simpsons meme, you know, the gifts that kind of get created, is if I walked into the party that was doing that, I would just pull the Homer Simpson right back into the shrubbery. Just
absolutely.
Just fading that step back in, let the shrubbery cover me over, and I would have exited that scene. So my
question is, and this goes back to the preface of how I introduced this video, is why do we have this compulsion to make the gospel, Jesus, the Bible, all this Christian stuff cool? And when we do it, it just comes across as just cringy. I mean, this is like Scott's Tots level.
It is cringy. Scott's Tots level, but there's a dynamic at play that I've become fascinated with. And actually, since we started talking about this a week ago, I've actually thought some more on this.
Okay.
And frankly, let YouTube guide me.
Yes.
As one should every now and then. Like, just take a morning, let YouTube be your guide, and just follow that path. It will lead you to new and exciting places. But it did make me wonder, in light of that idea, like the need to be cool, the need to try to show how in and how relevant and how cool and how contemporary that we are, all of which words are, of course, no longer used. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, trust me, Zoomers are sitting there going like, okay, Boomer.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Which neither of us are Boomers, but that's what they would tell us because we use words like that.
Yes.
But it reminded me, actually, do you remember the, and I think I've sent this one to you, I think, or maybe you sent it to me. You remember the Easter play where they tried to be incredibly, incredibly high tech and they had the pyrotechnics that lit up Jesus's grave? Right, remember the tomb?
The grave on fire.
That's right. Remember the tomb is supposed to have like the sparking, like, you know, arc that shoots across, and the door is supposed to blow out, and Jesus is supposed to step through. But instead, the entire tomb catches fire, and Jesus narrowly escapes with his wig.
Yes, like, I do remember this. That's a good one.
So, like, those are like the kind of classic moments where you sit there. And my, of course, my favorite thing is the gospel singer who never stops.
Yeah,
like, looks at flaming Jesus in the eyes as poor Jesus is on the ground and, like, fire extinguishers are, like, you know, being brought out, and, like, the whole tomb is being covered in you know, the CO2 stuff. And he never misses a beat. Like, that's impressive, actually. So props to that man. But the motivation behind it, I think, is where I would question. I would sit there and say, like, why do you, like, at what point do you go, hey, Easter needs pyrotechnics in order for us to be able to convey truthfully the message of Christ? Or we need this ridiculous cha-cha slide in order to really... Well, actually, I have no idea what this message is conveying.
I don't either.
Because
that's just
there's nothing in it. In fact, I love several people over the past week or so, since this has been kind of floating around, have gone and started freeze framing various individuals in the background and, like, captioning their thoughts of what's actually happening now. Like, what did I agree to? No one ever told me about this. So it's worth going and finding some stuff.
I told my wife about this video. Yeah. She was just like, oh, you know, that was probably back, you know, in the 90s and or 80s or something. And I was like, it was 2013. And she was like, oh. And, you know, she was trying to defend them.
Yeah.
Say, like, oh, maybe this was
like,
in the 90s.
It looked like it was from the 90s because they were all dressed from the 90s.
But it was 2013.================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================````==
from DC Talk, and they saw how fly Toby Mac was styling as, and they were like, well, obviously this is how the rap goes down. So
somebody needs to put on their flat bill.
Yeah, exactly. And
Adidas sweatshirt.
I mean, listen, we were probably really, really fortunate, at least from what I could see in that video. I didn't see it, so maybe it was there and I just missed it. But I think we're very fortunate that no one was wearing overalls with one of the hooks uncatched and like half a knee rolled up.
Oh. So, listeners, if you want to recreate this...
Listen, Zoomers, who have no idea what we're talking about.
If you want to recreate this, and please video it, and please have somebody with the overall look.
All you need to do, just go find some DC Talk albums. Love is a Verb. What was the other one that they had? Well, it was pre-Jesus Freak.
Pre-Jesus
Freak. Because Jesus Freak, they actually started... They kind of like upped their fashion game.
Yeah, they did.
I'm trying to remember, there was like one of their first albums was super... 90s. It wasn't Love Is a Verb. It was, anyway, I'm sure Carrie Basinger could school us on that one,
because
Carrie usually can tell us exactly what's going on with the DC Talk back in the day.
Absolutely.
But anyway, that was like the thing.
Free at last.
Free at last. That's what I'm thinking of. Free at last.
Free at last.
Yes.
You need to have on the French beret that's backwards.
Yes, the backwards beret. You need the overalls. Anyway, I feel like if you're going to do this in the 90s version, someone should commit and do it fully. And then it actually might have a retro coolness to it. But as it is, it still doesn't answer the question of why we feel the need for the relevancy. And I think, you know, from what we've been talking about, I feel like there's a, like I said, the motivation is partially the issue. You know, there's people who just feel like what they have isn't good enough.
Yeah.
And the message that they have isn't good enough. And the way they do things isn't good enough. I was actually just watching this morning. I was watching a channel that I subscribe to, which is for sound design and lighting design in small churches. It's a really quick kind of channel to watch. It's usually the episodes are really brief. But literally all it does is it just goes and visits churches that are like, you know, sub 150 people, sub 100 people. And it says, what do you guys use? And that way, you get the sense, because, you know, we can really, really easily get caught up thinking, like, you know, our church is 75 people and every other church is like elevation style, you know, or, you know, or Bethel size, right? And you forget, you know, like, oh man, we don't have our laser light show going, you know, what's going on? And I love this channel because it's just, you know, the common theme is we use what we have and we get really good at using what we have. And then they're just a lot of times using just really just normal basic equipment that you would find everywhere. And I really appreciate that, because their motivation isn't, well, you know, we're a church of 75, you know, but we're really trying to put on a 30 person, you know, worship event every Sunday, you know, and by 30 person, I mean 30 people on the stage all trying to, you know, do something kind of choreographed and cool. You know, we're having this discussion ourselves. We're in the middle of building a new building. And so I was actually just in a meeting yesterday about our staging and what our sanctuary is going to look like. And someone was like, well, you know, and at a point we're going through, like, you know, we've got our Pinterest board up. Yes, subscribers, I'm on Pinterest. I love it. The joy of Pinterest is you can show ideas and share ideas. Ryan's wondering what kind of moment I'm having right here.
I am not.
Ryan is not on Pinterest.
No.
Which one of us is cooler, Zoomers? but it's one of those moments where, you know, you can see all these different staging ideas. You can see all these different things that other people are doing. And people keep showing us these pictures of, like, churches with these 30-foot ceilings and these 100-foot wide stages. And I'm like, that's just not our building, right? Like, our building will have, like, it's like a 15-foot ceiling and, like, a 20-foot wide stage. We're a big church, but the constraints of the building are just simply, like, this is what's going to be there, right? We're having to do a renovation. So it's like, we don't have the luxury of just building from scratch. And so, you know, I was talking with a lighting designer who was, you know, kind of trying to give his pitch to come in and do our lighting design for us. And so he's the one showing me all of these massive, epic lighting things that do look amazing, right? And he's like, all right, what's really cool is when the beat drops here and your first opening song, all of the lights start flashing and, you know, the haze comes out. And I'm like, number one, you know, we're not trying to give anybody epileptic fits here, you know, like, I mean, that's
exactly.
And I mean, like, some of the stuff is like full on. I mean, he had like strobe lights going. I mean, it was just like, he's like, and the beat drops again, and like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's just not us. So I don't know. I feel like there's some of it's that motivation of there are people who do things trying to just simply have a fresh in step of what culture is doing, which I think can be useful. And then there are those people who just go that way too hard because they just have this deep sense of, like, insecurity or inferiority that what they have actually isn't good enough, and they need to somehow throw this extra layer on top in order to sell it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's a byproduct of a consumer-driven culture that we live in, where we think we have to sell Jesus.
Yeah.
We have to repackage him in these nice packages and the gospel. And so it makes it more appealing in the set. It's that stemming from that attractional church model.
Yeah, it totally is.
And, you know, recent study I was reading recently, I think it was like Tom Rainer, who used to be, you know, president of Lifeway and mm-hmm. all stuff. He just put out something about Generation Z and, you know, what they're looking for and how to reach them and this and that. And one of the things in there was basically don't be attractional.
Yeah,
because they're not looking for that. They don't like it. They're tired of it. They're tired of the lights and the shows, and plus it's almost nice. It's like this, you know, remember there was that shift from kind of the church culture we grew up in where, you know, you wear your Sunday best, right?
Right.
Then there was a shift to where you started seeing, I think it was maybe kind of Rick Warren was kind of a proponent of this, where
everything just became very informal.
It was very informal, yeah. Because everybody that was coming to church was wearing formal attire all week long, and the last thing they want to do is wear formal attire on Sunday when on their day off. And so Rick Warren kind of made that message to say, and I don't know if he was like the first to do it. There could have been others to do it, but I think he was more kind of the figurehead of it. But it was kind of that message like, hey, we don't need to, you know, put on our Sunday best for Jesus. Yep. He takes us as we are. And so I think there's another shift now where we've come out of this like flashing lights and all this stuff. Not to say that we shouldn't use, you know, staging and things like that if you want to, if that's your context and it works for you. But I think we're coming out of this where people are not necessarily, especially younger generations, are not necessarily wanting all the flashing lights and the laser shows and the fog machines and the smoke and mirrors and all this stuff.
What's a better film? The past recent Star Wars or The Mandalorian?
Probably The Mandalorian.
I would say so. I would say The Mandalorian. And the reason I would say it...
simplified.
Yes, right? Like, there's something highly accessible about it. Mm-hmm. And you sit back and you go, this is Star Wars at its best. Number one, it gets back to simply doing what Star Wars does well. Tells a story.
Yes.
Right? And tells a story that you don't actually have to like sci-fi.
No.
And that's what's amazing about it, right? It's like, you don't have to like Star Wars. You don't have to like sci-fi. You don't have to be into the, you know, oh yeah, I watched all the Attack of, you know, of the Clones or the Rebels War. You know, maybe you don't have to watch any of the external series. You don't have to have read any books. You don't have to know that Darth Maul is resurrected. You don't have to know any of that stuff. You could just simply watch The Mandalorian without ever knowing a thing about Star Wars, any of its characters, and you would be both interested in what drives the main character. You'd be fascinated and overjoyed every time Baby Yoda's on the screen.
Yes.
You know? Actually, you know, I was thinking about it. I was watching this last episode, because you watched it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was watching this last one, and I was like, you know what show this reminds me of? And it's just simply a Star Wars version of? It's Firefly.
Yep, exactly. My thoughts exactly.
That's what it is. It's Firefly. And Firefly was a space opera, you know, a space western, basically.
Space western.
Space western. That you neither needed to like sci-fi or westerns.
It was so good.
And it was so good. And I feel like it's the same kind of thing. So like the same struggle that some movies are having right now. Think like the Transformers series.
My gosh, like CGI overload.
All it is like, we don't actually know what the plot of like the last three ones were. All we know is that we're mesmerized by how many moving pieces they can fit into one thing that used to be a semi-truck.
Yes.
Like that's what... when I watch the Transformers movies, that's where I'm at now is like I go... For a thing that looked like a semi-truck, I don't think it's possible for it to have as many components as it has during the transforming into the robot moment. You know what I mean? Like, you're sitting there like... And then there's this engineering part of me that goes, every time a robot gets hit and you see, like, hundreds of pieces shatter away from it, you go, you know, like...
He's not going to work eventually.
Yeah, like, you know, like, those pieces matter.
Yeah,
like, you know, they don't just, like, stuff them full of nuts and bolts in certain pockets and be like, well, it's like, it's not like fat on a body. Like, oh, look, the robot has some extra nuts and bolts on the sides. Like, oh, you can just shoot that. It's gone. Like, it's gotten to the point where there is no story. It's all only, really, Transformers movies are all about, let's just show off the effects that we've developed. Let's show you the cool things we can do with technology. And frankly, it goes to the point where the story is either suffers or is lost completely.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where churches are that do this. And even frankly, you know, individuals that do this, where they feel the need to package so much pretty filler stuff that frankly, by the time you're done, you're like, there was a message in that, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where, you know, to me, I'd rather see churches and people kind of strip away a lot of the packaging and get back to the core of what they do well.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if you're a follower of Jesus, the core of what you do well should be following Christ in a way that's grace-filled, in a way that's life-changing for yourself and for others, and in a way that blesses the people around you, with the knowledge and the reality that the kingdom of God is near.
Yeah.
And that, I think, that should be it.
Yeah, and I think that with this whole like idea of attractional church and trying to package everything in this in these new packages and stuff, I think what it does is it gives us a false sense of success.
Yeah.
So if people are attracted to this and our churches are full of people that are attracted to this, then in you know, the like the core people that are there have been there through this. They think, oh, we're doing the kingdom work because our church is full on a Sunday,
right?
And we don't have to do anything else. We don't have to actually get our hands dirty in the discipleship part. And that's what something that I kind of emphasize at our church. Like, look, discipleship is messy. It takes time. It takes energy. It's all about getting our hands dirty and going out and being with people and experiencing people and experiencing life with people. And sometimes that gets messy, and you just have to do it. And I think with that attractional church, it's like it kind of says, well, you don't have to do that because, look, we're attracting everybody with all these pretty packages, and we don't necessarily have to have a clear message or even a deep message. And so and studies are showing that the like Generation Z especially are like balking at that.
Yeah.
They're saying, no, we want depth because it actually shows us that you're serious about this.
Well, there's some studies that have been showing like even traditional churches, like more like liturgical, you know, churches that have more depth of ritual, practice, liturgy, are actually seeing an uptick in young person connection simply because, you know, you go into those services and it's not a bunch of hoopla. There's not a bunch of, you know, overwhelming visuals that kind of like, you know, push you into an emotional corner. It's just simply, here's the presentation of what we believe and who we follow. And here are the things we do in both this place and outside of it in order to do that well.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something to be said about, you know, stripping away and getting back to some core practices, which in an upcoming episode, I actually have a question for you concerning Christmas and communion, because there's a debate going on right now on a forum that I'm following as to whether we should have it on Christmas. So we'll have that discussion soon for you, dear viewers, because I know that you're all sitting on the edge of your seats going, what is Christmas Eve without the Eucharist? It is a teaser for the question that no one's asking. But we'll have it in context with some other stuff to make it more fun. But I would say yes. At the end of the day, I would love to see less cha-cha slides and more just good storytelling of who Jesus is and what he does for us now.
Yeah, because I think going back to like the Star Wars thing you were talking about, it's like the prequels, I think, you know, if you've seen the prequels, most people don't like the prequels. I don't have a huge problem with them.
I don't have a huge problem with them. I mean, they're not my favorites, but they're not awful.
I think
they're not as bad as people know for.
I think one of the reasons is it was like George Lucas used a lot of CGI.
He did.
And then when J.J. Abrams comes along and does The Force Awakens, he actually pulled back from that and went back to the props.
Yep.
And then if you look at like the originals, you remember when they re-released them and George Lucas added CGI into them?
In fact, I was very disappointed when I went and rebought, when DVDs were like the thing. I was like, I'm going to move my Star Wars collection to DVD, and I was horribly disappointed to find I could no longer purchase
the originals.
The originals. The only ones you could find were the remastered, new effects added.
Yep.
And it was like one of those things where it changes how you view it, because it was like, oh, that's... Honestly, I was sad to see like Jabba as a slug instead of like as that big... The big Henson character, right? Remember, he used to be the big Henson puppet, and then all of a sudden, like in a couple of the added in scenes, he was like this weird small CGI slug, and I was like, "What the heck's up with Jabba?" Yeah. So anyway, I digress.
Yeah, people balked at that because they wanted the original. Even so, the originals were made in the 70s with a bunch of models and props and everything else with this kind of movie magic that people do, and people balked at the CGI stuff because they're like, no, I like the scaled back version because it's whether it was more nostalgic or whatever it was because what we're talking about today is I think the CGI added or kind of digressed from the story. It kind of distracted from the story, and people are just like, no, we want the story. We appreciate the story.
Yep.
We don't get wrapped up in like, well, these effects aren't as good as the other ones. They just like the story.
Yeah. So I would say as we wrap this one up today, you know, However you're doing your presentation of whatever, simplify, tell good stories, live well.
Yes.
This is the way.
this is the way.
All right, listeners, we'll talk to you guys later. Have a great week. Leave some comments on Facebook or on our feeds, and we'd love to hear what you feel are unnecessary additions to especially your church presentation, maybe your church services. What is that thing that just makes you go, why do we do that? Why did we do it this way? And then what are the things that you love as well? We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.